Bicatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Bicatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling something truly fundamental, it's about how we even exist, developmental biology. We're looking at the work of Lewis Wolpert, a real pioneer who helped figure out how complex life, organizes itself from just a single cell.
It really is one of the biggest questions in biology, maybe all of science. Look at your own hand. Think about the complexity there. Bones, muscle, nerves, skin.
Yeah.
All perfectly arranged. How on earth does a tiny fertilized egg know how to build that?
And not just build it, but get every single piece in exactly the right spot doing the right thing. It seems almost magical.
It does. But Wolpert's great achievement was to show that it's not magic, it's logic. An incredibly elegant self-organizing process that follows understandable scientific rules. He sort of demystified it, you know?
And that understanding is so relevant now, isn't it? It's not just some abstract biology puzzle.
Oh, absolutely not. Grasping how development works, the blueprint, the signals, is crucial for so many medical challenges today. Think about birth defects, understanding cancer, which you can almost see as development gone haywire.
Right, like cells forgetting their instructions.
Exactly. And then there's the whole promise of regenerative medicine trying to rebuild tissues. You can't do that well without knowing the original construction manual, essentially.
So let's talk about the person behind these ideas, Lewis Wolpert.
Right, Lewis Wolpert. He lived from 1929 to 2021, a really distinguished figure, South African-born, but became a leading British developmental biologist, professor at UCL, fellow of the Royal Society. A real titan in the field.
He wasn't just commenting on the science either, was he? He was right there doing the key research.
Precisely. He was a hands-on researcher whose own work helped shape this whole area. He's probably most famous for something called the French flag model, developed it back in the late 60s.
The French flag model sounds intriguing. We'll definitely circle back to that.
We will.
Yeah.
But beyond his research, Wolpert had this incredible knack for communication. He could take really complex technical stuff and just strip away the jargon, make it understandable.
That's a rare skill.
It really is. He used great analogies, sometimes quite funny ones, to explain these deep biological concepts.
Mm-hmm.
Made him the perfect guide, really, for anyone just curious about how life builds itself.
So the book itself, what's its main goal? What does Wolpert want us, the readers, to take away?
Well, the core aim is pretty straightforward. It's designed to take you from that feeling of, wow, how does this even happen? Mm-hmm. That sort of magical thinking about development to a place of informed wonder. You still feel the awe, but now you understand the principles behind it.
And you don't need a PhD in biology to follow along?
Not at all. Just curiosity. The central idea he keeps returning to is this concept of positional information.
Positional information. Okay, break that down.
It's Wolpert's answer to the big question. How does a cell know what it's supposed to become? Skin, muscle, nerve, whatever. His answer, it knows based on its location, its physical position within the developing embryo.
So like its address determines its future job.
Pretty much, yeah. A cellular GPS system almost.
Okay, but how does the cell get that address? Is it written down somewhere inside it?
Ah, good question. No, not written down inside. It's signaled from the outside. There are these chemical signals called morphogens. Think of them as like beacons. They're released from specific spots in the embryo and they spread out.
Creating a gradient, like stronger near the source, weaker further away.
Exactly, a concentration gradient. And the cell basically reads the concentration level of the morphogen right where it is.
Hmm.
High concentration might mean become cell type A, medium cell type B, low cell type C.
Wow, so the location translates directly into a chemical signal, which then triggers the right genes.
You got it. It's an elegant way to generate complexity from a relatively simple signal. And the book walks us through this whole journey from the very first cell division through this really critical stage called gastrulation.
Gastrulation. I've heard that's important.
Oh, massively. We'll get to why. Then it covers how patterns form and brings it right up to modern stuff like stem cells and even aging.
Okay, let's start where life begins, or at least where our understanding of it began. Before Wolpert, how did people think this worked? There was this idea of preformationism, right?
Yeah, it sounds funny now, but it was a serious idea for a while. Preformationism, the belief that a tiny, fully formed, miniature human, they called it a homunculus, was already present inside either the sperm or the egg. Development was just inflation, basically, getting bigger.
You can kind of see the logic with early microscopes, maybe. Little blurry figure.
Exactly. But thankfully, science moved on to the correct view, which is epigenesis. the idea that complexity arises gradually. Development is a process of progressive construction, not just unfolding something pre-made.
So it starts simple. Fertilization makes the zygote one cell, then it divides rapidly, that's cleavage.
Right. Rapid divisions, forming a hollow ball of cells called the blastula. Still fairly simple. But then comes the really dramatic part, the game changer.
This must be gastrulation.
Bingo. And this is where we absolutely have to use Wolpert's most famous quote. He said, "It is not birth, marriage, or death, but gastrulation, which is truly the most important time in your life."
Wow. Okay, more important than birth or death. Why that moment? What happens during gastrulation?
It's the moment the fundamental body plan gets established. That hollow ball of cells undergoes this incredible dynamic folding and reorganization. It literally folds in on itself.
Like cellular origami.
Kind of. And this process creates the three primary germ layers. Think of them as the master tissues from which everything else will be built. It sets up the basic architecture.
And these three layers are?
You've got the ectoderm, the outer layer. This will become your skin, your hair, your nails, but also, crucially, your entire nervous system, brain included.
Okay, skin and nerves from the outside layer.
The endoderm, the innermost layer. This lines your digestive tract, your lungs, your liver. Basically, the internal plumbing and organs.
Got it. And the middle?
That's the mesoderm. Everything else, pretty much. Muscle, bone, blood, connective tissues, the heart, the structural components, and the circulatory system. Gastrulation sets up these three distinct starting populations. If that goes wrong, well, the whole project is flawed from the start.
So gastrulation lays down the main zones, but then you need to build specific things within those zones, like an arm or a leg. That's pattern formation.
Exactly. How do cells within those layers get organized into recognizable structures? And this brings us back to Wolpert's big idea, the French flag model.
Okay, the French flag, blue, white, red stripes. How does that relate to cells?
It's an analogy to explain how positional information works.
Yeah.
Imagine you have a line of initially identical cells. At one end, let's say the left end, there's a source releasing one of those morphogen chemicals we talked about.
Creating that gradient again. High on the left, fading out to the right.
Precisely. A smooth concentration gradient. Now, the French flag part is how the cells interpret that smooth gradient to make sharp, distinct decisions, like becoming blue, white, or red.
How? How do you get sharp stripes from a smooth slope?
That's the genius bit. The cells have preset genetic thresholds. Think of it like sensitivity levels. If a cell senses the morphogen concentration is above a certain high level close to the source, it activates the blue genetic program.
Okay, so high dose equal blue.
Right. If the concentration is below that high threshold, but above a second lower threshold in the middle, it triggers the white program.
Medium dose equal white.
And if the concentration drops below that second lower threshold, far from the source, it activates the red program.
Low dose he red. Wow. So the cells aren't told be blue or be white individually. They just read the local chemical level and react based on their built-in threshold.
Exactly. It's incredibly elegant. A simple gradient signal generates a complex ordered pattern with sharp boundaries. Self-organization at its finest.
That is. Yeah, that's really clever. And you mentioned this logic is universal.
Astonishingly so, which leads us into the fascinating field of evolutionary developmental biology. People often call it evo-devo.
Evo-devo. So linking evolution and development.
Right. And one of the biggest discoveries in evo-devo is this idea of the conserved genetic toolkit. Basically, the core set of genes that control development-building bodies, making patterns, are incredibly similar across vastly different animals.
You mean like the genes that build a fly's wing are related to the genes that build my arm?
In a fundamental way, yes. The classic example is the Hox genes. These are master control genes that tell different segments of the body what they should be along the main head-to-tail axis.
So they assign identity, like this bit is the head, this bit is the thorax, this bit is the abdomen.
Exactly. And the amazing thing is, the same basic set of Hox genes that map out a fruit fly's body also map out regions of our brain and the segments of our spine.
That's wild. So evolution isn't constantly inventing brand new genes for development.
Mostly, no. It's more about tinkering. Taking that same ancient universal toolkit and just changing when or where or how much those genes are turned on or off. That's how you get diversity, tweaking the recipe, not writing a whole new cookbook each time.
Right. Variations on a theme. Okay, so cells get their identity from positional info using this universal toolkit. What about actually shaping the body, building the physical form?
Ah, now you're talking about morphogenesis.
Yeah.
This is the process of actually sculpting the tissues and organs. Mm-hmm. It involves cells moving, changing shape, sticking together, and maybe surprisingly, dying.
Dying. Cells have to die to build things?
Absolutely. It's called apoptosis, or programmed cell death. It's not random damage. It's a controlled, essential part of development. Think about your fingers and toes.
Okay, they're separate.
Right. But early on in the embryo, your hand starts out looking more like a paddle, with webbing between the protodigits. To get individual fingers, the cells in that webbing have to receive a signal to basically commit suicide, cleanly and precisely.
Wow. So apoptosis carves out the final shape, if that signal fails.
You can end up with webbed fingers or toes. It's a crucial sculpting tool.
Okay, let's put this all together. Positional information, morphogens, maybe even apoptosis. How does it work in a specific case? You mentioned limb development earlier.
Yes, limb development is the classic example Wolpert used. It perfectly illustrates these principles. Mm. So imagine the tiny bud that will grow into an arm or leg.
Okay, this little lump of cells.
At the very back edge of this bud, near where it joins the body, there's a small patch of special cells. It's called the zone of polarizing activity, or ZPA.
ZPA sounds important.
It is. The ZPA is the source. It produces and releases a key morphogen. And this one has a fantastic name. Sonic Hedgehog.
Sonic Hedgehog. Seriously, like the video game.
Biologists sometimes have a sense of humor. So the ZPA pumps out Sonic Hedgehog, creating a gradient across the limb bud, highest near the ZPA, the back, lowest at the front.
Ah, the gradient again. So cells read their Sonic Hedgehog level.
Precisely. High concentration tells the cells you're going to form the pinky finger side of the hand.
Pinky side closest to the source. Makes sense.
Intermediate level signal form the middle and ring fingers. And the very lowest levels, furthest from the ZPA, instruct the cells to form the thumb side.
Thumb furthest away. Wow, so that single gradient organizes the entire hand from pinky to thumb just based on concentration threshold.
Exactly. It ensures the digits form in the right order and orientation. It's the French flag model playing out in 3D to build a limb. And it shows if you experimentally add a second ZPA source to the front of the limb bud,
you'd get thumbs?
No. You get a mirror image duplication. You get another pinky forming at the front, then ring metal index, like looking at two hands palm to palm. Because you've created a second high to low gradient, right. It really proves the gradient is the information.
That's incredibly compelling. Okay, let's step back a bit. If we boil all this down, what are the really big take-home messages from Wolpert's work?
I think there are a few key themes. First, and maybe foremost, is development as elegant self-organization. It's not centrally planned like building a skyscraper. It's bottom-up. Cells talking to their neighbors, following local rules based on genes and physics. The complexity just emerges.
No master control room, just local interactions.
No. Second is the universality of life. Seeing that shared genetic toolkit really hammers home how deeply connected all animal life is. We're all variations built from the same basic parts list.
It's humbling in a way.
Definitely. Third, back to that crucial moment, the foundational importance of gastrulation. It really is the key event where the body's fundamental axes and layers are locked in. Everything depends on getting that right.
The blueprint setting state.
Exactly. And fourth, this constant interplay of genes and physics. Genes write the instructions, yes. But physics does the work, cells pushing, pulling, sticking, moving, even dying on cue to actually build the structures.
Yeah.
It's biology meeting mechanics.
Wolpert really had a way with words, too, didn't he? You mentioned the gastrulation quote. Are there others that really capture his thinking?
Oh, absolutely. His phrasing was often incredibly concise and memorable. That gastrulation quote, it is not birth, marriage, or death, but gastrulation, which is truly the most important time in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It just cuts through our usual narratives about life's big moments, you know?
It really reframes biological importance. What else?
Well, there's the core idea. A cell knows what it is to be by its position. As if it had a GPS. The GPS analogy just instantly clicks. It replaces this vague idea of cells knowing things with a concrete, testable mechanism reading chemical signals in space.
Takes the mystery out, puts the science in.
Precisely. And then linking back to Evo-Devo. Something like, the incredible diversity of the animal kingdom is generated by deploying the same universal genetic toolkit in slightly different ways. That captures the efficiency of evolution beautifully. It's all about tinkering, not constant reinvention.
So these principles aren't just fascinating biological theory. How does this understanding play out in the real world for us?
Hugely important, primarily in understanding health and disease. Think about birth defects. Knowing the normal steps, say, for how the neural tube closes during development.
That's the precursor to the spinal cord and brain, right?
Yes. Understanding that process allowed us to figure out that folic acid deficiency can disrupt it. Leading directly to public health advice, take folic acid supplements, which has dramatically reduced conditions like spina bifida. You fix problems by knowing the blueprint.
And cancer, you mentioned that earlier.
Right. Viewing cancer through a developmental lens is really powerful. Often, cancer cells seem to reactivate old developmental programs. They lose their positional address, they start migrating, dividing uncontrollably, behaving like primitive embryonic cells when they shouldn't be. It's like development running in reverse or off the rails.
That's a chilling but helpful way to think about it. What about fixing things? Regenerative medicine?
That whole field is built on developmental principles. The dream of using stem cells, those flexible cells that haven't fully decided their fate yet, to repair damaged hearts or spinal cords.
It depends entirely on knowing how to guide them, right?
Exactly. You need to provide the right morphogen signals in the right concentrations at the right time to coax those stem cells into becoming the specific tissue you need. You're basically trying to recreate the developmental environment on demand. We need Wolpert's positional information logic to do that.
And beyond medicine, just understanding this gives you a better handle on some big ethical debates too, I imagine. Things like IVF, cloning, genetic editing.
For sure. Having a solid grasp of the actual biology, how life is constructed step by step, the mechanisms involved equips you to engage with those complex discussions from a more informed, objective place. It moves beyond just gut feelings.
Thinking about this whole process, what strikes me most is just the, I don't know, the sheer reliability of it all. That something as complex as a human being emerges from these relatively simple rules, repeated billions of times, mostly without error. It's kind of staggering.
It is, isn't it? And that's the final takeaway I'd leave people with. Understanding the logic, the mechanisms, the how of development, it doesn't diminish the wonder. If anything, it deepens it. You see this incredible complexity emerging from underlying simplicity and predictability. It shows you the power and, yes, the elegance of natural laws. It replaces mystery with a profound appreciation for the process itself.
A shift from magic to informed awe. A fantastic place to end. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.